بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers and elders last week we started the chapter of رياض الصالحين which is titled باب الإصلاح بين الناس the chapter in which Imam al-Nawawi رحمه الله is going to bring those ahadith which mention rectifying the affairs of the people. When people have disputes, when people have issues, people have problems, that you should always make an effort to resolve their problems. They don't have to be people that you know. They don't even have to be family members. They don't even have to be friends. But if you know that a certain Muslim is having problems with another Muslim, we should make it our responsibility, if we are in a position to do so, to try and resolve their problems, try and settle their problems. So there's two more hadith left of this chapter, inshallah, so I'm going to go through them today. The first one is narrated by Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. She mentions, سَمِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَوْتَ خُصُومٍ بِالْبَابِ عَالِيَةً أَصْوَاتُهُمَا وَإِذَا أَحَدُهُمَا يَسْتَوْضِعُ الْآخَرَ وَيَسْتَرْفِقُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَفْعَلُ. So she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his room, was with her, and he heard an argument taking place at the doorway. So at the doorway of his house, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard an argument between two people. عَالِيَةٍ أَصْوَاتُهُمَا Both of those people, their voices were raised. So they were arguing and they were talking very, very loudly. وَإِذَا أَحَدُهُمَا يَسْتَوْضِعُ الْآخَرَ وَيَسْتَرْفِقُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ One of the people, so it was between two people, One of them was talking, basically one of them was in debt to the other. He owed the other some money. So he was saying to the other person that please, يَسْتَوْضِعُ الْآخَرَ وَيَسْتَرْفِقُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ Meaning he was saying, please can you forgive my debt? Can you let me off? Can you forgive me? Or if you cannot forgive me, at least you know reduce the amount. For example, if he owed him £100, he was saying, can I pay you £50 instead of £100? So he's saying, either forgive me or please reduce the amount, lessen the amount that I have to pay back to you. So this was, and they were both, it got a bit heated because the person who was owed money was saying, you've owed me for a very long time and you haven't paid me yet. And the other person was saying, I'm struggling, please, can you forgive my debt? Or can you at least reduce a certain amount? وَهُوَ يَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَفْعَلُ And the person who was owed the money, the person who was owed, مَقْرُوز, جس کو کہتے, He was saying, Wallahi la af'al, I swear by Allah, I will never reduce the payment. I will never lessen the payment. He got angry, and sometimes when a person is angry, they say certain things, and they don't mean what they say. So he said, I swear by Allah, I will not reduce the amount. Whatever you owe me, you have to give me that money. فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to see them both. فَقَالَ And he said, أَيْنَ الْمُتَأَلِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا يَفْعَلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ Where is the person who has just taken a qasam, taken an oath that he will not do a good action? Where is the person who has taken an oath, a qasam, that he will not do a good action? Because if a person owes me some money, and then I say, I swear by Allah, I will never forgive you. So this is you taking an oath that I will not do something good. Forgiving somebody else's debt is an act of charity, and it's very, very rewarding. A lot of reward for this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where is the person who has taken the qasam that he will not do a good action? فَقَالْ أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ So the man who took the qasam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, it was me. I was the one who said, I swear by Allah, I will not forgive you. فَلَهُ أَيُّ ذَلِكَ أَحَبْ So straight away the person realized, his temper reduced, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's a sahabi, so automatically he understood, I said something wrong. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, he can do what he wants now. If he wants to not pay me, I don't mind. If he wants to pay me less, he can do that. So the purpose of this hadith, the mahallu shahid, the reason why Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah has brought this hadith here, is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard two people having an issue, an argument, a discussion, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard their voices raised, so he thought to himself, how can I settle this dispute? So this is Rasulullah rectifying the affairs of two people. So he came out to them, and the first person, look at this is his iman, this is his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't get even more angry and say, Ya Rasulullah, he's owed me money for a long time. He hasn't been paying me, this is why I'm angry. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is taking the qasam that they will not do a good action, an action that will give them reward, person automatically realized, oh, what am I doing? I'm taking a qasam, wallahi, it's like me saying, wallahi, I will not give charity. I'm taking an oath, I'm taking a qasam that I'm not going to do an act of goodness. So this person had done that. So automatically he realized and he said, Ya Rasulullah, if he wants to not pay me, I don't mind. And if he wants to give me less, I don't mind. So obviously this is a qasam. If a person takes an oath like this, for example, if I say, I swear by Allah, I will not forgive your debt. Now this is a qasam I've taken. If I break that qasam and I forgive you, then I have to give the kafara for that qasam. I have to give that kafara because I broke an oath that I made, a pledge that I made. So this person would have to give the kafara. But so there's a few things we can learn in this hadith. That if a person in haste, in a rush, they say something like this, they should always break their qasam. Because breaking your qasam is not as bad as not doing a good action. Because you break a qasam, you give the kafara, and then the kafara is 3 days fasting. So you fast for 3 days and the kafara is done for the oath that you made, for the qasam that you broke. However, it's worse for you to not do a good action and not carry out an action of goodness. So anyway, because this hadith mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam settling the dispute of two people, this hadith has been mentioned. And the last hadith of this chapter, inshallah, I'll do it, is a bit long hadith. وعن أبي العباس سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغه أن بني عمرو بن عوف كان بينهم شر فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلح بينهم في أناس معه فحبس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحانت الصلاة. I'll go through it bit by bit. So سيدنا سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه, he mentions this hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the news that the Banu Amr bin Auf were one of the tribes of the Aus. So in Medina you had two large groups of Arabs, the Aus and the Khazraj. Aus and the Khazraj. And amongst the Aus you had many different families. And one of the large families of the Aus clan was the Banu Amr bin Auf clan. And they were a very big family. So sometimes, as it happens in big families, you have some issues. So they had some issue, they had some dispute. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told about this, was made aware about this, that the Banu Amr bin Auf have a problem, having some kind of dispute amongst themselves. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith clearly mentions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to try and sort their problems out. So straight away, this is the reason why Imam Nawawi has mentioned this hadith, that Rasulullah has heard that two families are having issues, problems with each other. Rasulullah automatically, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going himself to try and resolve their problems. This is the main point of this hadith. فَحُبِسَ, but then it's very beautiful, this hadith though, so we'll carry on. فَحُبِسَ رَسُولُ sallallahu alaihi wasallam وَحَانَتِ الصَّلَاتُ. While Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was solving the issues of these people, while he was discussing their issues, while he was trying to resolve their affairs, Salah time came very close. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone to deal with these people's problems, and it was almost namaz time. Namaz time is very close. Sahaba are waiting in the masjid, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not there. He's gone to resolve these other people's problems, solve their problems. فَجَاءَ بِلَالٌ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حبس وحانت الصلاة فهل لك أنت أم الناس. So Sayyid, the hadith mentions, and this hadith is narrated by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, they mentioned that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, he approached Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, Abu Bakr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been delayed, he's been stopped in that tribe, he's going to take too long, and Salah time is very close. So do you want to lead the people? Do you want to be the imam of the people? So this hadith has many different riwayat, many different narrations. Some of the narrations mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly told Bilal that, Bilal, if I am late, then tell Abu Bakr to lead namaz. So there was a few times in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led salah. This was one of those times. And obviously the main time was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his deathbed. And at that time, it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, again he led the Muslims in Salah. So say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Bilal, oh Bilal, if I am late, then tell Abu Bakr to lead the Muslims in Salah. However, when Bilal radiallahu anhu asked Abu Bakr, he said, oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delayed, namaz time is very close, do you want to lead the Muslims in namaz? He didn't say Rasulullah said you have to lead the Muslims. This question, do you want to lead the Muslims? Because he's asking that, look, do you want to wait a bit longer for Rasulullah to come? Because maybe if you wait another 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, Rasulullah will be finished, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will come and he will lead namaz. But if you don't want to wait any longer because you don't want to delay the salah, you can go ahead and you can lead the people in, and be their imam. فقال نعم إن شئت. سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه straight away said yes if you want. So the ulama say from this that Rasulullah Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is so eager to be the imam of the people. And the reason for this is because of the virtue, the fadila, so much reward for being the imam of the people. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had two options. He could either wait for Rasulullah to come sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he could lead the people. Straight away he said, I'll lead the people. Because Rasulullah leading namaz is better. Reading namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so much better than you leading namaz, but because you don't know when Rasulullah is going to come. If he knew that Rasulullah is going to be there in 5 minutes, he would have said, we'll wait 5 minutes. But they don't know. Maybe Rasulullah will take much longer. And I am getting this opportunity to get the reward of being the imam. He took the opportunity straight away. فَأَقَامَ بِلَالٌ وَتَقَدَّمَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَكَبَّرَ وَكَبَّرَ النَّاسُ. So Sayyidina Bilal رضي الله عنه gave the iqamah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went forward and he did the takbir, takbir al-tahrim, the first takbir. And فَكَبَّرَ وَكَبَّرَ النَّاسِ, and the people behind him, they also did takbir, they started their salah. وَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَمْشِي فِي الصُّفُوفِ حَتَّى قَامَ فِي الصَّفِّ. Sayyidina Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whilst Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he started the salah, he's leading the salah, it was still the first rakat. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم arrived. And وَجَاءَ يَمْشِي فِي الصُّفُوفِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم started to cut through the rows. So obviously there were rows, there was lots of sufuf, safs. Rasulullah started to cut through them until he stood right behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ فِي التَّصْفِيقِ. The people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they realized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here. So they started to do tasfiq. What's tasfiq? When we stand in namaz with our right hand on top of our left, it's doing this. So the Sahaba started to do this to make Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu aware that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here. وكان أبو بكر لا يلتفت في صلاته. سيدنا أبو بكر, this the narrator سيدنا سهل is mentioning that you could never make أبو بكر رضي الله عنه, you could never distract him in his namaz. It wasn't possible. Like normally سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه جاب النماز شروع كنت say, when he would start his namaz, he would be so focused on his namaz that you could not distract him. It was just not possible. So the Sahaba doing tasfiq like this. Imagine if everybody was doing this behind me, I would hear straight away what's happening. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wasn't realizing everybody is doing this. فَلَمَّا أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ, when the people were doing it again and again and again and again and again many times, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized all of a sudden. إِلْتَفَتَ, he turned a little bit. So remember in salah, as long as you do not turn your chest away from the qibla, even if you turn your face, your namaz doesn't break. If you turn your chest away from the qibla, then your salah breaks. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned a bit and he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there behind him. فأشار إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه looking back. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did إشارة towards him, indicate towards him that you stay there. It's okay, stay there, carry on leading the people. In salah, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did إشارة. Nowadays, in salah, this إشارة would not be allowed. But this is before those rules. Later, the masail, the rulings of salah developed. This was before that rule. So that's why the Sahaba doing tasfiq. In this hadith we find out that tasfiq is not allowed. But anyway, Sahaba did tasfiq first. So tasfiq is this, in namaz. Nowadays you won't hear people doing that in namaz. It won't be allowed. If somebody read half this hadith and did it, you'll say this person is a fool. Okay, he should go to an alim, he should understand what the hadith is saying. Okay. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did ishara towards him. Don't come back, stay there. Anyway, فَرَفَعَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ يَدَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَدَهُ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ. إِنَّمَا سَيْدِنَا أَبُو بَكَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ did this. Alhamdulillah. He was obviously leading salah. He said, Alhamdulillah. Out of happiness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is back. وَرَجَعَ الْقَحْقَرَى. And he stepped back. قَحْقَرَى means when you go back but you don't turn your face back. So you kind of just step back. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه stepped back from his place of imam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you stay there. Stay there. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr knew and he understood. It's not like he's not going to understand the ishara and the indication of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he still stepped back. Anyway, so he stepped back and the imam place is empty. So حتى قام في الصف. So he stepped back till he stood in the normal row with the people. فتقدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصلى للناس. سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم stepped forward because the imam position is empty, the musalla is empty. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم stepped forward and he led the people in salah and he finished off the salah. I'll explain the hadith after I do the wording. فلما فرغ after the salah finished, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fariq, he finished the salah. أقبل على الناس, he turned to face the people, and this was his sunnah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished salah, except for maghrib, in every other salah generally, I mean the salah where there is no sunnah, there is no sunnah afterwards. For example, in salatul asr, salatul fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turn around. So he's obviously, when he's leading namaz, he's facing the qibla, and then when he finished salah, he would turn around. And there are different opinions. Sometimes it's mentioned that he would turn around and face the people straight. Sometimes it's mentioned that he would sit this way, right. He would never sit left. He would never sit facing his left. He would either sit right, facing the people. So they say the sunnah, the ulama say the sunnah is any of that pace. If you're facing the people to a right angle, any right angle is okay. Even if you do a left angle, nothing, there's no harm. But the sunnah is to face this direction, or even to face the people straight. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the salah, he turned and he faced the people. فَقَالْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he's educating them, he's teaching them. He said, oh people, مَا لَكُمْ حِينَ نَابَكُمْ شَيْءٌ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَخَذْتُمْ فِي التَّصْفِيقِ. Why is it that when something happened in salah, that you started to do tasfiq? Why did you start to do tasfiq? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching them now. إِنَّمَا التَّصْفِيقُ لِلنِّسَاءِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this tasfiq is for women. Meaning if women are performing salah behind the imam, then they will do tasfiq. They will not raise their voice. So for example, if the imam is making a mistake, or you need to make the imam aware of something, the women will do tasfiq. Men, Rasulullah will educate now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, إِنَّمَا التَّصْفِيقُ لِلنِّسَاءِ. And then he said, مَنْ نَابَهُ شَيْءٌ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَقُلْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. If you wish, if something happens in salah and you wish to alert the imam, you wish to inform the imam, then you should say, Subhanallah. The ulama say on the basis of this, any tasbih that you do, any dhikr, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, because all of these things you can read in salah, it's a dhikr, it's tasbih, remembering Allah. So if you say anything like this, this is how you should alert the imam. Subhanallah is the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, so therefore they're the best words to use. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُهُ أَحَدٌ حِينَ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْتَفَتَ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you say Subhanallah loudly, then the imam will know that something has happened, and then he will turn. Meaning, you're doing tasfiq to get the imam's attention. If you say Subhanallah loudly, you will also get the imam's attention. You will do the same job. Well, you shouldn't do tasfiq. And see, this is where, you know, when people say we can just look at the Quran and Hadith and understand the Quran and Hadith, the ulama differ so much in small, small things. For example, this tasfiq. So this tasfiq, we believe that this is for the women. Only women should do tasfiq. According to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, in the Maliki madhab, he says this tasfiq is haram for men and women. Someone say, well, the wording Rasulullah is saying tasfiq is for women. But look at the way Imam Malik looked at the hadith. He's had the same hadith in front of him. It's not like he didn't look at the hadith. So if someone follows the Maliki madhab and they believe tasfiq to be haram, and you turn around and say, Rasulullah says in the hadith, tasfiq is for women. So are you saying it's haram for women? But Imam Malik rahmatullah looked at the hadith in a way. He said, look, Rasulullah is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama tasfiq lil-nisa, ke tasfiq jo cheez hoti hai, ye auraton ki fa'il hai. That this is something women do all the time. Imam Malik understood these words not to mean that women in namaz should do tasfiq. Rather, he understood these words to mean that tasfiq is the habit of women. This is the habit of women. That's why you people shouldn't do this. Do you understand? So this is how Imam Malik rahmatullah. So if you look at Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi's madhab, he says tasfiq is not allowed for anybody because it's makruh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying it's a bad action because women do this action all the time. This is a normal action that women do. Rasulullah said this to discourage people from doing tasfiq. He didn't say this so that people understand that women do tasfiq and men say subhanallah. No, Rasulullah said don't do it at all because ye auraton ki ek aadat hoti hai. So isko mat kiya karo. Do you understand? So this is looking into the hadith very deep. So a person says Imam Malik didn't see the hadith. I know hadith better than Imam Malik. So this person is foolish because Imam Malik understood the hadith, but he saw it. This is why there are so many madhabs, so many opinions. Imam Abu Hanifa reads salah in a certain way, Imam Malik in a different way, Imam Shafi in a different way, because they were looking at the same hadith, but remember, they're understanding it through their own lens, through their own perspective, through their own understanding. Get a fiqh and faham. Anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tasfiq is for women. In our madhab, we say that tasfiq is for women. That if women are standing behind you, according to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, you will do tasfiq. A woman would do tasfiq to alert the imam that he's made a mistake. And a man will say, Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Bakrin, O Abu Bakr. Because what did Abu Bakr do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, you stay there. But Abu Bakr came back. He said, Ya Abu Bakr, ma mana'aka an tusalli lin-nasi hina ashartu ilayk? O Abu Bakr, what stopped you from leading people in namaz when I did ishara towards you? Why did you not carry on leading people in salah when I specifically did ishara and indicated, okay, carry on leading salah? فقال أبو بكر سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه said, ما كان ينبغي لابن أبي قحافة أن يصلي بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, it's not munasib. He said, سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه said, how is it possible that the son of Abu Quhafa, so this he's saying out of humility, he's not even taking his own name, how is it possible that the son of Abu Quhafa is going to perform salah, lead the people in salah in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, it's not possible, Ya Rasulullah. So this is his love. You know, he was fanaf, what they call fanafir Rasul. His respect, his love is beyond respect. This is his like they say in Urdu, muhabbat mein duba hua. Like he's lost in the love of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you did ishara, but I cannot imagine that you are behind me and I am leading you in namaz and my back is towards you. I can't imagine this. So this is why it's my muhabbat that made me come back, not out of disrespect. So one might say, Rasulullah gave a direct order. Abu Bakr didn't listen to Rasulullah's command. He doesn't listen to what Rasulullah says. This is his muhabbat. You know, muhabbat ka ghalba. It's like a father says to a son, beta, don't do this. And son says, no, father, how can I? It's just natural, a fitri muhabbat, a natural muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led salah a few times. We have two main incidents. This is one of them. In this time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came back. But the second time was on the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his deathbed. Sahaba were waiting in the masjid. Rasulullah is very ill. He can't get out of bed. And then he told the Sahaba, go and tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started the salah and he was leading the salah. And in the second rakat, in this one it was the first rakat. In the second rakat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, holding on to two people, came into the masjid and stood again behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't come back. But even though he knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come behind him, but because the salah had gone on for so long, it was the second rakat. And now because it's the beginning of namaz, so Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there's no harm in it. Rasulullah comes forward, he won't affect the namaz. But because it was second rakat, it would affect the namaz in that way. So therefore Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come forward. Someone says, how come in that namaz Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led him? Why did he not put him forward in that namaz? That's because it was later on in the namaz. It wasn't the beginning of namaz. Shura, the hadith, the most important part of this hadith for this chapter was the fact that Rasulullah had gone to settle the disputes of two families. So this is the most important part at the beginning. But then you have this whole hadith that Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought, and this hadith is mentioned by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and the ability to act upon the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.